cursing. The fairy recognized kindred spirits, as she still spooked easily herself. As the years trickled away and the thorns filled with dog roses, her soul grew easier. There were stones inside her heart that would never stop grinding together, but they did not weigh so heavily in the years when no princes came. The fairy was filled with dread when she heard the ringing of nearby axes. She crouched in the brambles, toad-shaped, motionless, thinking, "What will I do if they come nearer?" But they did not come nearer. They cut a road through the woods, but gave the brambles a wide swath. The tower had been built on a rocky hill, a good, defensible place for a castle, but not a good place for a road. The axe bearers cut south instead, in a long curve, over what had once been fields held by the plow. The fairy was afraid for a long time that the coming of the road would mean the coming of more princes and younger sons. But mostly what it brought were merchants and travelers. None seemed interested in forcing their way through a massive bramble thicket, and perhaps none of them made the connection about how much land the brambles covered, or stopped to wonder what such a dense growth might conceal. She watched the travelers with interest, for those were the only human faces, save one, that she saw. They were so very different, in so many different shapes and colors. Pale, fair-haired men striding down from the north, and dark-skinned men in beautiful armor riding in on horses from the east. Men in caravans who looked like the old royal family, serfs and peasants in homespun, the traveling folk in their wagons, a great cross-section of humanity who would pass one another on the road and nod and sometimes stop and speak in unfamiliar languages. One of the few kind gifts given to and by the fair folk is the ability to speak any of the languages of the earth. The fairy could understand what they were saying, but while the words were familiar, the rest was not. She did not recognize the names of the cities they spoke of, nor the kings, nor caliphs, and the details of taxation and trade law were beyond her. The tide of people grew, and a trade house went up a few miles away. The fairy could see the smoke of it in the sky. She knotted her fingers together and huddled under the thorn hedge to escape the gnawing fear. "Let them not come," she prayed. She had been told that the fair folk were without souls, and probably that applied to her as well. A befuddled creature, betwixt and between. Still, just in case, she prayed. "Let them not come here. Let them not clear the thorns. I do not know how many of them I can hold off. Please, keep them away. Amen. She added the last worriedly, not sure if that made it a prayer or if she was supposed to be doing something else. The royal family's priest had been reasonably accepting of her presence, but that tolerance had not extended to teaching her how to make a prayer correctly. Perhaps something heard her prayer. The flow of people slowed to a trickle. The merchants stopped coming. The fairy saw only a few people. There were men in great bird-like masks and dark, tightly fitted clothes that gleamed with wax. They strode by like herons, like birds of prey, and the fairy cowered away from them. There was something about the masks that were too much like the faces of the elder fair folk. Even so, she preferred the birdmen to the screamers. They traveled in groups, half naked, shrieking like animals. Sometimes they struck themselves with ropes of thorns, howling as the blood flowed, then cackling with laughter. They stank of madness. One ran a little way into the brambles, tearing his skin on the thorns, and then staggered out again. The fairy, toad-shaped, waited until the rains had come and gone before she came near those brambles again. Whatever madness had infected